Hey, welcome to Front Row with Jackie Rowe. And it's Saturday, guys. And I was just chilling, you know, cleaning up, doing what us West Indians do, you know, on a Saturday. You know, we have 20 jobs and we have to clean. So I have a special friend, but before I even bring him in, I just wanted to, because the conversation started with this this morning of me, like, you know, just getting into my woman, my grown woman thing, you know what I'm saying? And that grown woman thing is actually, like, really developing into that full grown woman, you know what I mean? I am proud to be an older woman. I'm proud to be here still, even though we're living in really, you know, crazy times with this epidemic and this racism stuff is still going 100. But for me, what I'm learning is to, you know, become whole and be one with myself. And it's little things that, you know, that I'm doing that's like opening up my eyes to things. Like, I just found the other day, I love to watch this show on OWN called Greenleaf. And I know a lot of people like it, and I love it. So I've been watching it since the beginning, and I've caught up on it, you know, through the epidemic. And it just made me want to go open up my Bible. So in like 2006, I had bought this Bible by T.D. Jakes, I think his name. Yeah. And it was called The Holy Bible, Woman, Thou Art Loose. Thou Art Loose. And I said, wait a minute, let me go find my Bible. And I started like really going back into it and reading it. You know, I was going to church back then, trying to find myself. When you get older, especially for someone like myself, I've been through a lot of transitional things in my life, whereas I, you know, try to elevate myself, because each day I want to be better than the person and the woman that I was. So I try to, like, within myself, because I have no teacher and I have no one to, you know, taught me or teach me anything, because my mom died when I was 22. So I really didn't have anybody. I looked up to Oprah for a while, and she lost me. I always say that, I have to say it, because when she came out, I thought she was the epitome of everything that was black, that was right, you know what I mean? So for a little while, I was really an Oprah hard, die hard fan. I still love her, still love what she does, but, you know, I got to internally get into her and find out a lot of stuff that wasn't too complimentary to me. So I say that to say, okay, really quick, I started going to church for a little while back in 2007, 2008. And, you know, I was about to get, I think they was about to administer me with something. Maybe I'm saying the wrong way, but they was about to give me my plaque or whatever the hell that was. And then I had this disturbing conversation with one of my other girlfriends. It's like, you know, they be watching you on the camera, right? And I said, what? They be watching you on the camera. They be watching what you wear. They was talking about you doing a luncheon or something, how fly you come in with your Chanel shoes on, Chanel bag. I'm like, well, those are things that I have. I didn't know that the church was congregating on me like that. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, I never went back. So one day I was walking, and I swear, books come to me like this. No tomorrow, guys. Books come to me. I was walking somewhere, and I saw this book, and it was a pink book, and I picked it up, and the book was for Prayers That Avail Much for Women. And I said, whoa. I started reading this book, and every morning I would read the book. It's like a prayer book. So it was very smooth and you know, very Kama Sutra for me, because it kind of helped me through my days, like, you know, trying to understand, you know, the whole God thing and trying to understand the meaning of life and death. So, you know, I was just, you know, trying to elevate myself. So this book is really good. Again, I'll tell you the name of it. It's called Prayers That Avail Much for Women. And it's a good prayer book. So where I'm at now today is like calming my anxious mind. And that's another book. You know what I mean? So today I was in here and I was going through the closets of cleaning out the kitchen. You know how us women, we like too much stuff. So I'm going into my minimalism lifestyle, where I don't want to see anything on my cabinet. I don't want to see anything, but now it's only me. I only want to see one set of everything for me. I mean, I'll keep some of the grandkids stuff and my son's stuff when they come back, but not too much. Like, it's a bothering situation for me where I'm at in my life to see so much of anything. And this has been going on for 25 years. the more I give away, the more I sell, the more I do. And I'm not buying anything, but it's still so much. So, you know, I had Blue Pill Mother and Red Pill Mother here a couple weeks ago. She was staying with me. And she said, Jackie, how long you been living on your own? I said, since I was 17. And she said, God dang, you got a lot of shit. And I said, Mama, I've been throwing stuff away for years. I've been giving away. Like, I've given furniture, bedroom sets, living room sets, everything, clothes, bags of shoes, bags of everything. I've been giving away so much stuff, and I still find that I have a lot of stuff. I mean, I'll go through my drawers. If I have too much drawers, I give to Salvation, or too much underwear, too much of anything. I like my drawers them light. I like my closet light. And then my closet seems to be more packed. And I'm like, oh my God, shoes, everything. I say all this to say, ladies, if you're listening, it's so of a clutter when your life and your room and your house is cluttered. Your mind begins to be cluttered. So I practice not to have too many things in my room. So when I wake up, my dresser, and that's not working because I got all my grandkids' pictures on my dresser. Now, first I used to have all these perfume. I had to have every cologne that they was in the world. And I used to have, and I was like, nope, I don't want to see them on my dresser anymore. So I've made a drawer where I put them in my drawer. And I'm like, okay, now I put something back here. I'm like, what is wrong with me? So where I'm at right now is, like I said, trying to be the minimalist of everything in my life. And which brings me to my guest. He probably said, well, damn, Jackie, I've been on here for like 6 minutes already. And I said, well,
it's stuck here. It's all good.
But so... And we became friends a while. I lost you for a minute there. You there?
I'm back. It was in and out. I don't know what happened, but I'm here. So I didn't hear anything you said after the 6 minute part. I paused. I don't know if that was mine or what.
It just stopped. It just stopped on its own. Okay, glitch. Okay, anchor.
The Matrix.
Yeah, you know. So where I'm at today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, I'm so sorry, but I am in those phases because I'm quite sure all my listeners know that my sons and them have moved on to Florida. And so I come back and forth now. So now I'm here and I'm still trying to clean this all up in this house. Like, there's a lot of shit. And so I was going through my kitchen cabinets. And, you know, and I was like, you know what? I need to get rid of some more stuff, the plastics and all that stuff. I don't need that. This one part of my cabinet that have all these keys. And I remember, you know, this lady has been deceased for almost probably 25 years. And it's my good friend, Nyjah Battle. She was one of the youngest furriers in I think the United States. You know what I mean? You know, God bless the dead. She raised me as a young girl. She always saw things for me. She worked with Little Kim. She worked with Mary. She worked with Misa. She introduced all of them to furs. My mink coat, one of my mink coat seats is monogrammed with her name. Mike had bought it, had Mike Tyson name in it from Nyjah furs. And I even have little dolls, mink dolls and stuff, and teddy bears that she made for me back in the days.
I'm here. I'm here.
Are you still there? Because you got quiet. Are you here? Okay. So it brings me to when I went in the cabinet, I was cleaning out the cabinet, you know what I'm saying? And I pulled out some of my teas and stuff, and I'm like, I couldn't believe I had this tea because she had brought me these. She had brought me these accents, and I'm like, wow, this is fly. This is real bougie. And so this is why I'm saying that when you grow, because, you know, I'm still kind of like, I'm sophisticated, but I'm still kind of hood. I'm still kind of, you know, a little ghetto at times and shit. I'm not going to knock all of that, but it still are all the parts of what makes Jackie Rowe. And I looked at the tea and I said, only Nyjah with her sophisticated bougie ass, right? And so I started cleaning out the thing, and then I went on Amazon and I said, let me try to find these teas. So I bought me this beautiful porcelain kettle and I said, let me go get some more of the tea. So I'm looking at the teas and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So then I had a phone call. I don't know who called who or whatever, but I was telling my special guest now, and this guest's name is Rich Stiles. Rich is a furrier. Rich, welcome to the show. I'm sorry that I was babbling on so long, but I had to give them the intro leading up to the conversation hopefully that they have gotten what I was trying to say about, you know, the connection with Nyjah, and then you and me talking this morning, and I'm explaining it to you, and I was like, I didn't even know that we were going to even talk. And the simple fact that I was breaking it down to you about what I was doing this morning, right? And I said, oh my God, I said, you know, this is from my girlfriend, Nyjah Battle, that was her last name. She was a Black Furrier. And then look, you're my guest and we're talking, you are a Black Furrier. So welcome to the show again and introduce yourself to my audience.
I'm definitely honored to be here. It was definitely one of those things that was full circle this morning, I think, for you. So, you know, I think when those situations arise the way that they do, it's always good to capitalize on them. But yeah, it's me, Rich Styles, man. I am an African-American furrier. I've been in the fur business now, wow, 9 years? 9 years, so we've been trying to keep tradition strong and things of that nature, and keep the looks in the proper perspective and things of that nature. So that's really all it is. I'm just here trying to carry on tradition in the proper way. That's all, and really just honoring everyone that did it the right way before me. That's really my whole thing.
Thank you, but he's being modest, guys. When we go look at his page, you'll see, like, it was a client of mine, a very famous rapper, and, you know, she had a baby, and I was like, wow, you know, we can get a nice little fur line going for her, because I've always wanted to start, because everybody know me, I have every color fur, and that was one of my greatest things, was to start a fur line. But then years ago, I saw Ducky, you know, this young kid started it. I was like, he's just like, he was in my head, like his whole line, shout out to you, like his whole line of everything that he has done, it's like things that I would have done. Like, he is so on point, you know, and he's another young Black furrier that's doing his thing, you know, I mean, shout out to the young entrepreneurs that's doing them. And so I was like, okay, let me reach out. And then I ran across your page.
I remember that night.
And I said, yeah, and I said, hey, how are you doing? I introduced myself, and I said, you know, I would love to have a conversation with you. And we started, you know, conversating back and forth about making this, you know, situation historical, because it would have been historical if we could have ever gotten it.
I still agree with that. Even to this day, I still think it's something that can be really great. And hopefully, you know, in the near future, we can do it. But yeah, I definitely remember that night. I remember exactly where I was at and everything. It's crazy. My memory is pretty strong.
Yeah. that's good, because that's a good memory, because if we could have completed that project, we would have had a serious fur line for a baby right now, but it didn't happen. So moving forward, I still can't get over the whole today, how I'm in a, you know, cleaning the kitchen and running to her. So that's to tell you, I never threw her tea stuff away. And Nisha's been dead for like a good 20, 30 years now almost. I still have the can, because it's like the cans are, you know, when you, and that's when I say to myself, I know I'm grown into my grown woman. Like, people probably don't understand that, because where I would have regular Lipton tea bags or some other tea bags in a box,
right,
I threw all that shit out.
It's out of here.
I said, so, I need to buy tea in that type of, you know, lifestyle, in that type of canister. I need to get that. So I started, you know, going online. I was on Amazon. I was just looking through all of these teas and everything. And then before that even happened, I forgot. I have a young girlfriend named Nina. She's like my square. She's my every little thing. She's like a little herbalist and everything. You know, watch out, Mama Pearl. She's coming. So she's on her little thing. So she, during the COVID, she was in a little island, some island. I don't know where she was, but she was in one of the little islands. And I was in Florida. And I, you know, when I came back, she was looking for me. So she, I don't know how she brought all of these teas and these leaves and all this stuff from whatever island. When I say bags of tea, me, some tea I never drank, I drank it the other day. She brought, she brought all kinds of stuff, like basil, or I can't even, it's a lot. Like, she brought me plastic bags full of tea, lemongrass, you know what I'm saying? What else?
Lavender,
all kinds of different things. She, when I say I got tea for days, so that made me go on Amazon the night before that, I think, looking at mm-hmm. the steamer, looking at the teaser, the glass thing that you put right. the teas in and everything to
boil the steep. And, you the know. Steep. Yeah.
So I went and I ordered one of those. And then, you know, today I got all that 2 nights ago, I got all fancy. I was like, oh, I want a new tea kettle now. You know what I mean? And so I'm on my thing. That is, I'm telling you, it's all about the levels of growing into your Absolutely. Womanness. You know what I'm saying? Like, the quality of certain things. Like I've always said, even when I was transitioning from regular food to organic food, I'm always like, you know, people say, oh, it's expensive. I said, no, it's not. It's about the quality, mm-hmm. not the quantity. Buy one or two good things. You don't right. need all this other stuff. You know what I mean? So still putting me in my minimalism mind frame of not having a lot of junk and things that I don't need. And so when I saw the tea cans, I was like, okay, I need some tea. And I said, wow, I swear to you, Rick, it just brought me to her. It brought me to her. It made me like, it just felt like I just got into her space. And I said, wow, now I see where her mind was. Mm-hmm. You understand me? I'm a young girl, but just the fact and the things that she was on, like things that she was drinking, she was on that real, like, you know, you took that, like I always say a lot of times, people can have a lot of money, but it doesn't, you don't know the quality, the class of things that you need right. to buy with your money. A lot of people get money, you buy a whole bunch of frivolous bullshit and thinking that's down. I remember there was a friend of mine that we had back in the day. They gonna call her name. I mean, this chick was fly. No matter how much shit she used to do, she always still looked like mm-hmm. a fucking bum. You know what I mean? It still just didn't look good on her. So that always stood out in my mind. I can hear you, whatever you're doing, because the microphones are very sensitive. Yeah, I can hear you, whatever you're doing. It sounds like you're doing your little thing, but I can hear you
straight down,
whatever you're doing. Yeah, the mic. Very sensitive. Yeah. They can hear
Got you. Yeah, I'm getting my roster together. Yeah.
I know.
Let me pause.
I mean, it's cool with No, it's still good. It's, you know, it's, you can do you, but you can hear it. Even though you're trying
telling
to
you. Quiet, these things pick up crazy.
You can still hear it. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's early out here.
Exactly, right? Because mm-hmm. you're in Vegas, yep. correct?
I'm in Vegas, sunny Vegas, man. It's beautiful out here right now. Still hot, but the fall is settling in very nicely.
Very nice. So, Rich, let me go into some little questions real quick. You know, what's your nationality?
Actually, I'm African-American and mixed with Native Indian, Cherokee. So, mm-hmm.
and so when,
my mother's side of the family, that's the Native side. And my father is 100% black man. So, that's my guy. Both of my parents are my guy. But yeah, if you know, when I'm filling out papers and things of that nature and ask for your nationality, I'm African-American. But to be completely transparent with it, there is a mixture there, which you could probably tell by when the sun starts hitting me. I get darker, but it's more of a reddish tint. So I'm a red guy. That's me.
Mm-hmm. yeah, he's a red guy. Nice looking red guy too, guy, girl. So you're out there, you see him.
Thank you.
You know, that's Rich.
I'm
style.
Appreciative.
And yeah, very much so. You have to give compliments where they
agree.
Do. You know what I mean? All right, what school, like what part of the neck were you brought up in?
I was born in Virginia. I was actually born in a city called Lynchburg, Virginia. That's where I was born. I went to high school out there as well. After graduating, things changed a lot for me. I was always one of those kids that I always thought more of myself. I always saw myself in a different light, in a different environment, amongst different individuals, doing different things, and just as a lot of kids do when they're young. But with me, I would like to say it's a lot different. Obviously, I wasn't in the heads of every child in my age group. But you know, as the older we get, the more you can kind of, as you begin to observe human behavior and the way people think, it kind of, you can kind of tell where their head was when they were younger. in a lot of degrees. So right. I say that to say this, even with, you know, as a lot of kids do, they daydream, they have these dreams of being this, that, and the third. I think mine was just a little more aggressive. I actually went after everything that I saw myself in any space that I saw myself in. I dove in. I had absolutely no I had absolutely no reservation for anything. I went after everything, whether it be good or bad.
You was go-getter.
Extremely.
You were a
extremely
go-getter.
I've always that's just who I am. I actually, my father reminds me of this story periodically over time, and I still remember this day. I was 15 years old. He was super pissed off at me. I had been kicked out of school. And I'm laughing now because it's in my head. I'm looking at it in my head right now. But
right, sort of like how I was looking at Nisha when I picked up the can of petite today. Like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, where was she?
Exactly. So I'm kicked out of school. 180-day suspension. I had just totaled my father's brand new Honda Accord like a year prior. And mind you, I just told you I was 15. So what that means is I was not able to drive legally yet. So I was putting this man through hell at this particular time. But he was pissed off at me from all of that other shit. So basically anything that I did rubbed him the wrong way for like two more years after that. But understandable. You know, we were outside talking one day. He was going at me pretty aggressive. As my father's an aggressive guy. He's very stern. He's 1,000% alpha. Mm-hmm. So he's talking to me about, you know, getting my life together and all this other shit like that. By this time, I'm running around in the streets getting paper and things of that nature, which is very obvious to him. I didn't try to hide it at all because my thing was staying fresh. You can't hide fresh. You can't hide fresh.
Right.
No, it's not. And especially not the fresh that was going on during that time. We're talking about DKNY pullovers. And Pelly Pellys and, you know, Marl Buchanan leathers and all that, Gore-Tex. This was that time frame. You did.
Yeah,
guest jeans and everything. There's no hiding that because my father wasn't buying it. So where are you getting it from? But, you know, he was just, at this particular time, he was, you know, everything was rubbing him the wrong way about me. And I was wilding. But at the end of the day, we had a conversation. It's like, yo, just basically talking to me about get your shit together. And I told him then on that day, look, man, I'm not the son that's going to be working for anybody. I told him that then. He said nothing, but he just looked at me. And the reason why I said this is because my father is, he has an MBA. He has a degree. He's a very sharp individual. I don't come from a broken home. I actually come from a solid family and things of that nature. So anything that I did on my own. It wasn't.
Yeah, but most of us don't. Not to cut you, I tell you, a lot of us, we are just like my granddaughter would say, rambunctious. He's only 3 years old. But that's all. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you know, it was one of those things. I told him, look, it's not that with him being in corporate America the way that he was at that time, and hearing all of the frustrations that were weighing on his shoulders the way that they were at that time, I'm hearing these stories. I'm hearing these things. I'm like, knowing that this man is super qualified to be in a position much higher than he was, and he was already in a high position, but I understood then why he wasn't being, why things weren't advancing for him. So with that being said, I'm like, look, what makes anybody that's over you at your plant where you work, what makes them more qualified than you? He couldn't answer the question. He knew what I was getting at, though. Now, mind you, I'm throwing this question at him coming from all of these stories that I've been hearing from him over the years. I'm like, yo, dude, you're stressed out, so don't talk to me about getting, you know, going in this lane and that lane when it doesn't seem like this is a lane that you're even happy with. You come home stressed out. That's crazy. It made no sense to me at an early age. So with that being said, from that point on, I was just doing me. And he didn't like it. But he accepted it because that's what it was going to be. I'm 15 at the time. You know this now. You have kids of your own. You know, kids, you get to a certain age, they're not hearing you. It's just all it is. It's no different than when I talk to people in their 20s, early 30s now about certain things that they don't quite get. I can understand where they're at because I was once in their space too. I'm not one of those people that go back and, yo, y'all not doing this and that right now. I actually understand why this is happening because people were telling me the same shit and I wasn't hearing them.
Yeah. And the world revolves around and around and around. Everything that went around comes right back around. It's
absolutely
what it is. But we have a problem realizing that and listening. And it was somebody I was talking to and I'm like, you know, when you're older and you're trying to tell somebody, like, don't do this and don't that. For instance, with me and my son, I mean, I'm the woman, so there's no really, you know, man figure that to me that they can really look at, you know what I'm saying, sometimes, because it's like, you know, you're trying to tell your sons, you know, what you learned. And I'm a woman, so it's like, you know, they looking at me like, Ma, you can never be a man. And I'm like, I know I can never be a man because I was born a woman. So my thing is this, when I'm telling them my experience, because I played the role as a woman and a man growing up, because I was just that little tomboy type of chick, I'm trying to tell them don't do certain things. But, you know, the respect back, I mean, they did turn out really well, and I'm proud that they did turn out, you know, good and, you know, well-mannered and smart, didn't have to go through the jail life and the gangs and all of that stuff. So that was good. But it's like sometimes when you're telling your kids or even my nieces or even anybody as a client, like, you don't want to go down that road. You know, they hear you, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking to someone that's dealing with a very devastating relationship breakup, and it's like, it's hard for her to understand. I've quoted 100 times that it's not your fault. Like, you know, why can't you understand that you didn't do anything wrong? It's like, you hear somebody telling you stuff from their experience, and for some reason, you just don't want to get it. You just like, wow, why don't people get it? But that's just the way of the world. And that's just why I am how I am today, because I've learned that you can't change people. People are going to have to change themselves for themselves.
Yeah.
Understand me? And what you want for someone else, it could never be until they want it for themselves.
One of the biggest lessons in life I've had to learn dealing with women.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Yeah, in my situation, my ordeals are a little different than the average male of today. When being a male that actually has a solid perspective that is completely transparent and has full intent on being the best man that he could possibly be for a particular female of interest, that's a serious brother. That's just a serious man. It doesn't have to be a brother. That's a serious man. That's a man to be taken seriously. And it's unfortunate that the degree of difficulty with this nowadays is outrageous. Being reflective of so many women being fucked over by men. Now, I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing men, because it's a maturity thing. I personally think. Now, not everybody was born, placed on this earth to be in a relationship. That's not what everybody is for. But for those that were put here for that.
Interesting.
But for those that were, it makes it extremely difficult, especially in the social media era. I didn't come up in this time, in this type of world. So
Well, nobody did. This is a whole new thing for everybody. This whole social media thing is a whole new way. It's a whole new transformation for the universe. You understand? So what we're experiencing, what we're going into right now, is totally different. It's very diverse and very evasive.
Extremely. It's very difficult. And to go back into what you were saying, because I have a tendency to go off on tangents. Going back to what you said, as far as the lesson that I had to learn dealing with women, it goes back to a quote that I used to see it often. And it was one of the realest quotes that I'd ever seen. and it was read something like, you can only reach people at the level of their perspective at that moment. So
yes,
with that exactly. being said, you can talk to people until they're blue in the face, but they'll pick up on some things, they'll listen to some things, but life has to be a teacher to us also at times. And sometimes when people can't hear us, they just have to go through whatever they're going through in order to arrive at the place that you were when you were preaching to them.
Self-experience. It has to happen. That's self-experience. Okay, well, that is true, because like I said, I am at such a epitome in my life that I'm just jaded. Nothing fazed me. I think I've exerted myself for so long trying to help people. You know what I mean? It's just my nature. My son's like that. Well, one of my son's friends, he's basically like that. You know what I'm saying? He's just like me. Always a helper. And I try to really go back and pull layers, you know, in my family history and ancestors. Like, you know, my mother, when she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease years before she died, I really started to get a little close and try to really check her out, because I was very rude to her as a young child growing up, because I lost my dad early when I got here in the United States, like back in the 70s. And I just became very rebellious. That's the whole, you know, arrive of Jackie Rowe, you know, when she was born into Jackie Rowe in the early 70s, just being a rebellious badass, right. You know what I mean? And so they didn't give my mother the opportunity to be my mother, because she couldn't answer me. She couldn't answer the questions to where my dad went. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was raised with the cooking in the islands, you know, up until I was 6 years old. And so he was a police officer. And that was my ride and die. Out of all of my siblings, I was my daddy's pet. You know what I mean? So I couldn't understand. I couldn't fathom it in my mind. Like, what the fuck? As soon as I get here, my dad dies. Like, I was just starting to, you know, we're in a new country, a new place, a new world. Like, he's showing me everything. And I'm, like, just getting to know him. Getting, you know, he's teaching me. He's taking me on the bus, showing me the bus, showing me the train. So, showing me, like, you know, being a teacher. Because, you know, when you don't have these things in your life, it's hard for you to grow up and not have the main essential tools, like having a grandmother, having a grandfather, having, you know, even when you have your parents, we take them for granted. Again, why I'm bringing, you know, the story is because when you have your mother, okay, you lose one. I lost my dad. I didn't see the worthiness of my mother, you know what I mean, till she was almost dying. And it's fucked up to say that, but it's the truth, you know, because I was so busy being, you know, bad. Like, just every day she was coming to school for me. I was going to see psychiatrists. I was going to 600 schools. I was just out of control. I was like a beast let loose in Brooklyn. Like, I don't know where the fuck. I don't even know how I'm even still sitting here sometimes when I'm talking to people, because I was so rebellious. But I didn't listen to nothing my mother said. So I started peeling off the layers and trying to understand, who is this? You know, like, excuse me, like, I know you're my mother, but who are
right,
you?
You know, right.
You know, yeah. Like, who are you? No story. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, well, I started to, like, really, and even today, I actually try to look through her pictures and look through her when she was young to, like, pierce into her to find out what type of person she was. Where do I get this from? You know what I mean? And then I find out, like, when I really started, like, taking retrospect, and I said, I'm just remembering, like, you know, outings, bus rides, you know what I mean, boat rides, you know, family outings and picnics and stuff. My mother was always the matriarch. She was always the matriarch of everything. Everybody had their families and everybody had their sections of food, but everybody gathered around my mother for her food and her cakes and her everything, you know, and she loved kids like me. She loved children. Just as with, I love kids. You know what I'm saying? My mother had that same thing. So I got a little peace when my mother was, you know, incinerated and dying. And I just got so much, I got to learn and see so much about her. And even when I'm getting older now, my face is changing a lot. I'm starting to look just like my mother. When I was younger, I looked at like my dad. Now, every now and then when I walk by the bathroom or something, I said, damn, hey, you. He's like, I see her like coming in me, like my face is starting to look just like my mother now. And I'm older, I look like my mother. Before, I was my daddy's spitting image child. So yeah, I say that to say, I was really inquisitive into learning a lot more about my mother and why was I so caring and nurturing. And even though I knew that from maybe around 8, I started putting up a big, like, I put myself into a bubble, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because I knew that being nice wasn't getting me anywhere. You know, and I saw that when you were nice, people took advantage of that. You know what I mean? So instantaneously, by the time I got 9, I was a beast. Like, no, what? That my attitude just changed. I just knew human nature took it from me as being like a pleasant little girl and turned me into a ferocious lion, a cheetah, whatever. That's the most fearless animal in the jungle.
Yeah.
And that's just how my attitude was. I was like, what? I'm always looking at people funny, like, what? What you said?
Yeah.
Who you talking to?
See, like, I went through that.
I just became...
Yeah,
yeah. I just became a very defensive type of a chick. Like, I didn't like people. I started really studying people, like hearing, listening very carefully, because I was brought up around a lot of older men. So, the, you know, back then I was around the Jelly Stompers and, you know, the
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, holy That's girl. Classic so New I York to- history there, yeah, boy.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know who they are. They might just know who the... you know, the Miseducation of Sonny Carson and all that. They might just know those two gangs, but the Jelly Stompers and all that, which I think they originated in Queens, correct?
I think so, but a lot of them was
in Brooklyn too, yeah. I knew it was both boroughs, but if I'm not mistaken, I think it actually originated in Queens, bro.
Probably so, but yeah, I was just saying that to say that, you know, we don't really understand. That's why this conversation is so resonated with me today, because I really feel like you gotta understand, getting knowledge of self and understanding all your, you know, your awareness to stepping into different time zones. We might be still here, but people don't understand. You are moving into different time zones in your life, because I can feel my grown woman. You understand?
Yeah, you feel it. You do feel it. It's basically everything that you've been expressing to me. I've been able to categorize it as, again, just coming full circle in the whole spiritual connection to the universe and how it brings you to certain things and different places in your life, and you're able to actually feel the shift each time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely when you're really tuned into the inner self at that point in time. Yeah. And once that happens, you really can't even disconnect from it at that point in time.
Oh,
I remember the late Dick Gregory said something. I still go back and listen to a lot of his older interviews to this day, periodically from time to time. And something that he said in one of his interviews was that it's basically like you have on magic glasses now. So once you acquire those magic glasses, you're unable to take them off. And with these glasses, you're able to see things in ways that the average person is just unable to see.
Yes. Ooh, I felt that.
I felt it in the same way when I first heard it. And that it answered so many questions for me. Why am I such a recluse? Why am I... I'm a people person when I have to be a people person. And during those times, the people around me will think that I'm just this host type of dude, when in reality, I don't want to be around none of you.
Damn.
Not because they are foul people. It's just because I'd rather be in my own space, because you don't understand my brain.
Oh, I was just getting ready to say that. Like, for years, people don't know. They saw me, and they think, oh, Jackie's that. But people didn't understand I was really an introvert. Like, I couldn't wait to go home and take a shower and be to myself. Like, even though I'm here at this moment, when I come home, when I come to New York now, I love people. Like, oh, you in the house? But yes, and I love it. I'm at peace. And I'm learning so much about me now. And I wanted to say that, you know, people don't understand, like, having money, you know what I mean? It's only an expression. It was in your mind by the things that you buy. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't get that. You know what I mean? And so, again, coming back to where I was today, you know, it's like, I had so much money and so many great opportunities, and I bought really nice stuff, you know, designer stuff, you know, because that's all I knew growing up, you know what I mean? Hustling, being a booster and all that shit, you know, all the fly shit, you know what I'm saying? But did I really know all the fly shit? You know what I'm saying? Did I really? That's a question I asked myself. Like, whoa. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was doing and buying all the regular shit that everybody wore. Gucci, Fendi, YSL, Prada, blah, 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 blah. All of them shit. So, okay, that was cool. You know what I mean? Then we have the Versace and we got all the stuff. But no, was I really? I yearned and I was doing this like maybe 4 months. I was looking for other top, I would say, Greek and Italian designers that people didn't know about. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I got into a theory with that.
I went through that same thing, and that is exactly how I ended up doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, like, you know, I always want to be that. I don't like when, I always had a problem with when everybody wore the same shit. Like, when people started wearing Gucci or Fendi, I went to Gucci. When they started wearing Gucci, I went to Prada. I just always keep it jumping. When they went to Prada, I went to Louis Vuitton. Like, I always keep them.
That's the cloth. Like,
you don't mean to be, you know, like, everybody wear. I don't like to be that same. I don't like to the same. I like us to look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fly, but I just always got to find some
individualism. You know I mean? Like, we can't. And I remember, you know, and even because, see, we got the game from you guys. So, like, at the end of the day, I say this all the time, like, and even with social media, you're able to see so much. And me being as observant as I am, and you don't even have to be too damn observant to observe this, though, but everybody today, and it's been like this for the past maybe 8 years, everybody now picks up the same sweater, the same, and these are the popular people too, which makes it even more baffling for me, because the cats during you know, that particular time of day that you and I both come from, the last thing you wanted to do was look like anybody else, and they would label you as a biter. I know exactly. You remember that term. So it's like, yo, you biting, son.
Oh, yeah,
like, nah, like,
exactly.
It was, you did nothing like anybody. I don't care what it was. You might have been inspired by somebody, but
you
did. You put your thing on it, and that was the whole level of creativity. And I think that's one of the things that made that period of time so monumental and things of that nature. Because if you go back to even to the 70s and 80s and all that other shit, man, the thing that I think, yes, can you? Yes, I'm here.
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Rich.
Okay, yeah, you said when you got back.
Okay, yeah, even if you go back and look at the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, yeah, I think that's one of the things, because you see, even, you know, we got these pages nowadays that talk about, you know, the old gangsters and all that other shit. I like those pages for this reason. Yeah, I know.
I'm very aware
you're
of them.
All of them.
Because I'm all
of them. So, like, I like these pictures. I just hope that I like these pages for this reason, because if people are looking at it the right way, then it's great. The individualism during those times were unprecedented. So we're not talking about what people did during that time. That's over.
Right.
But, like, as far as how people presented themselves during those times, everybody had their own identity.
Right, exactly.
Something from nothing, literally. And here we are today.
That's my point. That is so my point. But we almost 45 minutes into this podcast, and I've been having an issue, and I think I figured it out. I don't know. Before, I usually could go an hour on my podcast. I've been kind of letting it go to 45 minutes, and then I'll stop it because I don't want to lose this interview.
Yeah, so, after time, so sometimes I've done them up to 2 hours before, but sometimes the reception will go in and out after a while.
Oh, I don't know. So I hope not, because we going on 44, but I'm trying to see if it's gonna.
Oh, we good. Yeah, we good.
You sure?
We're definitely good. We're definitely good.
So, all right, because I'm watching it, I'm just like, I don't want to lose this interview. You know, because I've had so many great interviews, and then all of here, and just like. Nothing. I was cursing out Anchor. I'm like, what's going on? What's the conspiracy?
But it's happened to me before.
Yeah. So, all right. What I wanted to say about that really great point about, you know, having money and buying really quality stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing where I'm at today in my life, with just simple looking at things different, not having a lot of things, but having the quality things. And I have a lot of quality pieces. Don't get me wrong. But now I'm looking at it, I'm growing, I'm seeing it differently. You know what I'm saying? Like,
people don't understand to have and to have not. To want and to need, they're two different things. You understand me? And
right.
So sometimes I got to be careful when I say I want something. I'll be like, you know, or I say, God, I kind of want it. I don't need it. But if you find in you know, in your ways to make sure that I, you know, run into it, it'll be great. You know what I mean? Fine. It's cool. But here's the thing, like for me, when I started this whole conversation today on this Saturday, it's just knowing the quality of things in life. You don't need a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You just need the quality things. Like, it just might be just a little tea for me today, but it's showing me so much, and it brought me back to that memory of Nyjah. You know what I'm saying? Being that person just made me say, wow, I had to spend, I knew she was very polished. Very classy. But I didn't know the magnitude of her mind, because she was at the pinnacle of her career with being a furrier. I was coming up with Mike, and she knew me from when I was young. Like, I used to wear, I mean, she knew me since I was like 12 years old. And I used to wear my glasses because I lived on Eastern Parkway in Utica. And when I came out the train station from Hustley, anybody that knew me from back then would tell you, like, I always had a pair of sunglasses on top of my head. I still do it now. So one day during my Tyson years, she reached out and she said, Jackie, you know you've been wearing those, you've been wearing, putting your glasses on top of your head since you was like 12, 13. I said, no, I didn't think about that. I think it's a habit. She said, you've been doing that since you was 12. I'm telling you, you used to come out the train station, sleep, she used to say, and you said, I watched you, you know, I was watching you, little woman, you know, little grown, you little sassy little self. And she will always tell me to go to school, always tell me to be good. But when I saw my career, like my life was changing and being more famous and being more popular, you know what I mean, like in the light of a celebrity status and stuff, that's when she would sit and she would talk to me. She was like, Jackie, you need to do something with your life. And I said, well, Nyjah, you know, like first, and so we were talking about the furs, you know what I mean? And we were talking about doing it, but then of course, you know, it took me to another level with Mike having to be and fly and do the things that I was doing with him. I never got to pursue that part of my career, but I love furs. So bringing it back again to you, and I hope people get the analogies of what I was trying to put out here today, is like, thank God for her. She's gone, but you know, I mean, I always remember her. If it took the tea canister today for me to remember her and bring me to you with this conversation of you being a Black furrier, that's just God walking me through my path. And it was so effortless. It was so effortless because the conversation I was having with you, I didn't even, because we were talking about the scene. I was like, wow, I said, bring it to my, I said, why? That's my girlfriend. She was a furrier too. And I said, oh no, we got to do a podcast. That was just too crazy. And I say that to say that sometimes in life when you stay still, you know what I mean? You're looking for to hear something, but God will show you certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he will show you, and he will put people in your path to open up any seed, to part anything for you to walk through so you can find who you are. You just have to be still. You know what I mean? So bringing it back to finish preaching, like what neighborhood do
It went out. Okay. It went out for a second. I hear you,
Rick. Yeah, I see that's doing that. What neighborhood? Because I know, you know, people think you was from Virginia.
I'm with you
for
now.
A minute, so I want to make sure people get to understand. Could you hear me? Yeah, like what neighborhood? Because you down, you around,
yeah,
you've been
man.
Around some people. So I want you to get that, you know, out there. Like, you know, let me know where you from, Virginia, you know, where you came from. Who
yeah,
you
for me personally, driver, man, like the whole, definitely was.
Let's talk about the neighborhood. What neighborhood were you after you left Virginia?
After that, I ended up being in New York. I was in Southside. I was in Southside, Queens, and all that for a good while. This was actually, just to give you an idea of the time frame, this was during the beginning of 50 Cent's career,
mm-hmm.
when he was first getting really hot. And I remember, okay. I have to say that because I just remember certain things so vividly during that time. There was a lot of things going on that was happening behind with him. And the people that I was surrounded by during that time, also being from Queens and things of that nature, Rosedale and all that other shit, Gabriel and all of that. they were a part of that whole thing. So we talking about the Smurfs and people like that being the younger guys and shit like that. But definitely been around a lot of cats from uptown too, from the old Rich Porter days and shit like that too. You know, a lot of those guys are still around. So whether or not they want their names to be mentioned or not, I don't know. But yeah, I haven't seen them in a while.
That's all right. It's a podcast.
Right. Right.
You're talking about, you know,
but
that
it's been a lot of cats, man, between Manhattan, Harlem, but mostly Queens, you know what I'm saying? Between Spanish, Dominican cats. There's one particular guy, Tito. I don't know where the fuck Tito is at. And if I don't, I could go into this whole story. Tito was a very, very, very important person from Manhattan. He was. He is, rather.
Was he Puerto Rican?
Well, you know, is he fat?
Tito, I know too. He got killed a while ago.
Kind of chunky.
Same one.
Okay.
No, he wasn't fat.
This was at that time.
Well, he was kind of stunky, but he wasn't fat.
Since 99 or some shit like that. But yeah, Tito. Who else you got, man? Damn. More of a Capone.
Notice that you were close with Noriega.
More
too.
More Capone than anything else, definitely. Shit, man. And that's just rap guys. But like, as far as like street guys and shit like that, right. We could go on back like to catch from, like, you know, the whole shower posse and shit like that, which you know firsthand, you know. So it's a lot of guys, man. it's a lot of guys. The funny thing about it is I don't even know how a lot of that shit even happened. I even still think about a lot of that shit today. It's like, yo, how in the fuck am I even, I don't even really know how it happened, but things just happen. And here we are today, man. And the stories and the things that I've seen over time, it's just
living testaments, and we're creating our own Bibles. These are all Bibles that we are creating through these podcasters, being that they're, you know, scripted or whatever the case may be. But that's all we're doing, is we're telling our stories and sharing our stories.
Absolutely.
Hoping that each one can teach one, you know, at the end of the day. So have you any celebrities with of any of your
coaches? Absolutely, right? Yeah. You know, we got the heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay. Products? Deontay. AZ, he definitely does some things for AZ, Raekwon, Petey Crack, Morris Chestnut, Amber Rose, Angela Yee, who else? Mike Epps, done pieces for Mike Epps. Let me keep thinking. It's funny because over time, man, you forget about some of these things that you've done. Mm-hmm. Those, well, as far as like designing,
yeah,
11 years,
this,
but the whole fur thing, 9 years. 9 years in the fur thing. But as far as being completely registered and all of that with the LLC and all that good shit, we're 11 years in now. It's really hard to believe. I actually did go to school. I went to school for a year. I went to Norfolk State for a year. I didn't flunk out. I just chose not to go back. And the reason why I chose not to go back is because I was just out of space where I was also came up around older cats also. And the cats that I knew that actually went to college, none of them worked in the field where their degree was acquired. So that bothered me. It didn't make sense when I knew that I was going to be having to pay that damn money back. It didn't make sense for me to be paying money back on on something that I wasn't going to be, that wasn't sure. It wasn't a sure shot. Why would I go to school for 4 years for this particular degree, acquire the degree, and let's just say some sort of science something, and then I'm ending up being some sort of call center manager or some shit? This is not to throw dirt on call centers. Not at all. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to go to school for something for four or possibly five whole years, make sure it's passionate and make sure that you're going to be able to apply it. Because other than that, then your time and your money was wasted. That's crazy. Right. So That's just the reason why I didn't go back. Right, so I just chose otherwise, and I just believed in myself enough to just do my own thing.
So that's the next question. Why did you choose fur? Why was it furs for you to get into that? Or was there some other things that you was playing around with before? Because to me, when I'm watching you on your page, like, you love fashion. You love the fur. You know what I mean? So what made you choose to take that?
It was very easy for me. And going back to something that you said, like after a while when the labels are still big, but you know, there was a time where certain people wore labels. So if you, and I was one of those people very young. So as time went on, I just got tired. There's nothing else for you to do after the labels but to get shit custom made. So I started focusing on having things custom made for myself at that particular time. So it was no longer about labels. It was about the fabrics. You know what I'm saying? Cashmere's, and all of that. I stepped it up into that. So my jacket started to, you know, no more butter soft leathers and things of that nature. Now we in pythons and all that other shit like that. We stepped it completely up. So, So as time went on, it was basically the same type of thing. I'm like, I can't really do nothing else. After this, only thing is left for me to do is just wear my own brand. That's the only I was thinking, to be honest, at that time, I was thinking on the next way to shit on people. Because, you know, that's how we think. That's why we, you know, just being honest, that's how we think. How am I going to kill these niggas this time? You know what I'm saying? So that was what I did. The only thing I can do now, I'm already in the exotics. I gotta have my name, my brand on it. So I came up with the brand name one day, and it was a thing of no, I'm not. It's not even. It's a brand, but I'm giving. People are looking at me. So when you see the shoes or whatever, these Python loafers that I got on, or these ostrich joints and all that other shit, and you see it, you see it elsewhere. You think of me. That was what I did. Now how it transitioned into a business. I ended up, this was in my transition when I was actually trying to get my life together. So, you know, I was like, how can I get myself now? I was already, you know, very well acclimated with a lot of people in the industry. So this is at a point where I'm like, okay, now I have to be resourceful. I have to use my resources. This is what they're there for. And I basically just branded myself as a stylist. I had no intentions of being one for a long time. I just said, look, let me see if this works. And if it works, I got it.
So who are some of the people that you style? And by the way, before you answer that, yes, he has shoes, guys and girls, ladies. He has shoes. He has robes. He has everything. Plug it in real quick. Where did you find
Definitely. I'm definitely on social media as far as... Instagram and there's a Facebook business page. I do have a Twitter page, but I don't tweet. But The Real Rich Styles Instagram, and I also have another brand too that I've been cultivating that you actually don't know about yet. I've been keeping that pretty much under wraps, and that will be launching here real soon. But as far as like the leather jackets, it's still there. It's still there. The only reason that didn't work is because I moved and I just lost sight of it. That's it. But I actually had the mold done. I showed you the mold of it, of the ring, of the pinky ring. And that was the thing, what I did. I had to sit myself down, and I had too much on my plate that I was trying to get done at the same time. So I'm like, look, and I actually sat myself down for a year. Actually, last year, I didn't do too terribly much last year. I worked, but I wasn't as aggressive. But I had to sort things out and actually restructure everything. It was too much going on.
Okay. What did you want to be when you were young growing up?
It's cool. I'm actually doing exactly what I saw myself doing as a kid. I wanted to be involved.
When you were young.
Yeah, I wanted to be involved with fashion. And have people. I've never had the dream of being this world-renowned designer. That does not shake me. All I wanted to do was be viewed as someone that was credible in this world of fashion. That's it.
So what advice would you
be true to yourself and never compromise? I don't care who it is. People come to you out of the blue because they see something in you. Always understand that and never sell yourself short. Mm-hmm. Best information I could give you. People can take whatever from there and run with it, but that is about as broad as it can be.
Well, thank you for being
honored. I'm honored. You're talking to Rich Styles. It's been a complete honor being a part of this segment with you, and I look forward to several more. We're going to have to get you on mine here this weekend. Rich Styles Unplugged. You can find that on Spotify, basically all streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, and things of that nature. Rich Styles Unplugged. It'll pop right up. You'll see me. Subscribe, check out a few episodes, and let me know what you think.
And one or two more questions. What would you tell yourself today, looking back and seeing you as a young teenager? What would you tell
yourself? That's a really good question. And I've heard people ask other people that question before, and I've never thought about that. So to give you my answer, I think the best thing, the thing that I would say to myself first is my younger self is be patient. Whatever it is that you're doing, just be patient. Force nothing. Be aggressive and be resilient. Yes. Be wise and be patient.
Okay. What would you have done differently, you know what I mean, back then that you would have done today? To say, okay, I wish I knew.
To be honest with you, the only thing that I would have done differently was utilize my credit earlier on. Like I have great credit now, but I had no one explain how it worked, how to use it. So if I had known this at 20, 21,
wow.
Oh my God! Had I known this then,
that's awesome.
I have excellent credit. But had I known this at 20, 21, 22, I have no idea where my life would be.
Great
right
answer
now.
Too.
I just know it would be so much more better than it is now, and I don't live a bad life now. But I'm just saying that I know that me having the knowledge of credit now and how it works and how to use it. It's unmatched. But as far as any situation and shit that I went through, changed none of it, because I'm extremely proud of the man that I've become. And each one of those ordeals had something to do with this person that is before you now. So I can't say that I would have the same perspective that I have now had those things not happen. You know, I needed those things to happen.
Right. So that's... I was about to ask you, what was some of the obstacles did you have to, face in this whole, industry? Coming into the fur game, like a lot of people don't know, was there any real challenges, any competition, anything?
I've never been the type of person to look at what others were doing. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not aware. But I've always felt like I was in my own lane. So with that being said, I never felt like I had to compete with anybody. Like you have, let's use Ducky Confetti for an example, just so you can understand what I'm saying. And again, shout out to him, somebody that I actually respect in this game. So I never thought that I was in competition with him, because he has his perspective on how things should be done and I have mine. I haven't seen anything that he's done that I didn't like.
Exactly.
So, but my point in saying that is not everything.
Me too. I just don't like him. I want to fight him. That's because he's in my brain. I love you, Ducky.
Nah, he's official. You know what I mean?
In my head, like, not to. Yo,
he's done it. Yeah, he has vision like no other. Yeah, he has vision, and I have vision, but I have to give him. He has the vision, and not everybody has that. So with that being said, I might like everything that you do. That don't mean that I would want to wear everything that you do, because I have a personal style that I stick to. So with that being said, that's why I said I don't. Never felt that I was in competition with anybody. And I hope nobody feels that they're in competition with anybody. You're in competition with yourself and being a better person than you were yesterday. Exactly. You know, no, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, all that animosity.
Everybody
and
needs to understand.
I don't know what envy is. I just know what it feels like to be envy. I don't know what it feels like to envy nobody else. So I don't want to know that feeling. But if people, I just wish people, especially now, the way with the luxury of social media and having the reach that we all do now, if people would come together and be more willing to collaborate with one another. Oh. But we have that thing within us.
Oh,
we got
God,
that thing
preach.
Within us. Yeah, we got that thing within us, though. And I don't care what anybody says. Yes. It's fucking truth. We got that thing within us where we'll talk about unity and things of that nature, but it is hard. To try to find somebody to collaborate, you'd be hard pressed. So,
you know,
it's just have to stop. We got to stop bullshitting ourselves. That's really all it is to it. And just like, look, what are we really trying to accomplish collectively? Is it really about the individual or is it about the collective effort?
Man. You know? Listen, I've been a pioneer of this game, like, and I've always, people say a whole bunch of shit about me, but they'll never talk about all the good that I've done. You know, they'll never talk about that I took my first $250,000 and took that check and opened up a big office space, 55, 80, whatever fuck square feet downtown Brooklyn, looking like a damn museum, trying to give people the opportunities to come in there to become something. No, they want me to sit there and spoon feed them and tell them how to do it and what to do. No, I'm giving you an opportunity, but I'm even going to kill myself on that one again. What I wanted to say when you said that was last night, my goddaughter, China, you know what I mean, from Dollhouse. Oh my God, this young girl is, she was preaching like soul to the goddamn moon yesterday. You know what I mean? Because she's such a great entrepreneur. Like, and she was, you know, she wasn't glorifying herself. Wish she didn't have this confidence. This wasn't when she had her grand open. I can hear you. She didn't even have money to do her toenails or to get a good pedicure, manicure. She was just going in, but you know, just now where she's at because she's selling the TLCT, she's found these coaches and these women that help her and push her. And it's all about, she was preaching so hard yesterday. She was like, because I was on, like she said, God, mommy, you know, you were there. You was trying to tell people, but people always want to depict and, oh, no, they, you know, they, oh, she thinks she this and she thinks she that. No, I know I'm this. Yeah, exactly. You need to think like this. If you thought like that, you would be me. You know what I'm saying? Evidently, you got a problem. You need to figure out, why do I think like that? Why do I act like I'm all of that and this and that? Because if I don't, who else gonna act like and think like I'm all of that? I love me. It doesn't matter if I'm big as the fucking moon or skinny as a fucking stick. You gotta love you. Anywhere you come, be thankful for who you are and what you got. Every morning when I take my feet off and take them, roll up the bed and put my feet on my floor in my room, I said, thank you, God. You didn't have to wake me up this morning. You know what I'm saying? I walked through my whole room saying, thank you. Thank you for my vessel. And the twins, the mother, Mama Pill said, damn, Jackie, the way you so immaculate with all these, why you can't be immaculate within your body? I said, good question, but good topic. I have a reason probably why. You know what I'm saying? At a young age, I had such a voluptuous body. I was scared of niggas. Like, I thought, I was going to come for me. And then I ended up in a domestic violence relationship. And I was talking to one of my ex-boyfriend who's incarcerated. And he was telling me, you know, because he's been in love with me since he was young. Like, and he was telling me he was friends with my other boyfriend. He said, yeah, I used to want to know why you like this dude. So I used to be around him. And I was like, you are really crazy. He said, no, that's how much I love you. I was trying to figure out what the fuck you saw in this nigga. And I said, well, you're crazy too. I'm like, he's part of one of the reasons why I end up getting kicked out. He knocked out my super to my where we lived at. And my mother got kicked out and got arrested because of him. I said, I've never, ever, you know, I know, a lot of girls, like, you know, like, and I had millions of dollars. I could have, like, I always talk about is every little loophole if it comes up about the body and having that. But it's something with me being voluptuous and stuff, like, I get the most craziest motherfucking attraction to men that they start off looking like they polished and everything.
We had
nice
that. It's funny. You and I had this exact same conversation on the way to Core Mega's listening party. You remember?
Yep. Oh, we did, right? Oh my God. Oh, yeah. And I think that's why I don't really go. I want to be healthy. I don't want to be voluptuous. I don't want to be 24/36 like how I was when I was. I'm sorry. Call me big, whatever. I'm just loving growing to be a grown woman. I love my grownness. I love it. I wish I could do 50 and something. That's my next thing. I have a couple pages, but you know, I look into what's her name? Eddie Murphy's girlfriend. She's like a bad manager. There's a couple of 50s and women that look good. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get into that workout, but I really am a big enterprise. When I say enterprise, I have so much different compartments of business ventures that I'm working on, especially now with this COVID. I really don't have a staff, you know what I mean, to help me do so. It takes up a lot. I try to wake up at 5 a.m, meditate, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking for a bike. Did somebody tell me what happened to all the bicycles in the world? Like, I've been on Target, I've been on everything.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to, I'm actually about to pick up a bicycle myself too. It's a nice luxury to have. You're going to probably, want something that I noticed, you could probably go in one, but you're going to just have to go to a bike shop. Like, it's not like back in the day where you could go to Walmart and just pick up a little BMX and all that. Or maybe Sears or something like that back then, but they had to go to an actual bicycle shop. Like, it's different.
I was online in Florida trying to find a bike, and everywhere we went, Target, Walmart, you know what I'm saying? All these places where the bike was
going. Right.
There's none, and I've been looking. So anyway, my thing is this. Besides some other machines that I saw on Amazon, I think I'm going to get, I just want to be, you know, healthy. And, you know, like I was telling one of my other really close friends, man, I said, I'm so into, like, taking a good hour now of washing my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind somebody, that's a conversation for another one. I'm talking to this dude. And my homeboy, he's telling me that somebody was calling him, telling him, like, he said, these kids don't have no respect no more for us older. They calling us old head, dinosaurs and shit like that.
I'm only 41.
I know, but listen. but this is what I don't understand for the life of me. Like, what is wrong with these little brats? These little fucking young, ignorant brats. Because check this out. Somebody tell me I'm old. You fucking right, I'm old. You didn't know?
Yeah, and this is probably why you should respect me more, because I'm still here.
No, it's not even that. That's not even a cover yet. The cover is this. Someone to say to me, Jackie.
Thank you. Yeah, they don't get that.
Thank you. That's a compliment. Thank you. They think I must be worried about, and I was telling my he's like a confidant to me. I was like, you know, I'm more worried about my complexion than anything. Like, people would think I'll be worried about my body. No, I'm not. I had the big ass. I had the big hips. I had the small waist. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm a real meticulous type of a woman. I look at people's skin. I think I can read people through their skin. I said, I have a thing in my bathroom now, and I put up, Jackie, wash your face for a good 30 minutes. And I mean, like, not only wash my face, because, you know, we get up in the morning, we'll brush our teeth. And that's another thing, the oral part of our existence. Mm-hmm. Like, people rush to do things. Like, long bath. You know what I mean? It's a long time. I like brushing my teeth and my tongue for a long, long time. People think brushing their tooth is...
Please and thank you.
Brush your tongue. The tongue has a lot of shit on it, mucus, all kinds of shit. Brush your tongue. That is a big part. So then, and when it comes to my face, I have all of this stuff. I've never used anything before on my face but just water. Now, someone mysteriously sent me, what's her name? What's that actor's name? Forgot her name. Some actor. Somebody sent me a whole case of her stuff. I've never known who sent it. I started using her stuff, some real good shit. But before that,
I had a client named Dr. Gary, just saying the truth. She's a non-plastic surgeon. She's in Harlem. And I started getting like little moles that was on my thighs and stuff, and she took them off them, and it just made me look like 10 years older. I mean, for 10 years younger. And so I did the derma peel. I used to do skin peels and everything. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. Mind you, all of this stuff now, my face would be looking jacked up when I'm pinching, like I'm peeled up. But then she would tell me about just keeping myself and my skin moist. And so I goes into Bloomingdale one day, and I have this one thing that I love. I forgot it's in my, what's the name of this? They have to sell mud. I spent like maybe $1,400 one time, and they just buying all this stuff. And I was constantly going back and buying. That's a mud thing for your face. I forgot the name of it. But they're really good. I don't think they have them anymore. She was explaining to me that I needed to do some type of scan to see the texture of my skin, to know what type of stuff to put on my skin. I was like, you don't say. She said, yeah, so you learn so much that you don't, you be rushed every day to do all of these things, but we don't take the time to really learn about our skin, our bodies, you know, the blood. Just the other day, I was told to find out my blood type. Like, duh, I've been going to the doctor, and I've been asking my doctor, why my doctor act like she don't want to give me my blood type? I didn't know that your blood type had so much to do with so much things in your body, or so many things that you need. Little things like this. I'm not trying to stray away from the conversation, but back to taking the time to love ourselves unconditionally, brushing our teeth, taking long showers, scrubbing ourselves, not one, two, three, washing up this and that. No, take time to scrub your body. Love your body, love your skin, love your mouth, love your face. You know, lotion yourself when you come out real good. Talk to your body. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm all into all of this shit because I ain't got nothing but time right now. And people need to slow down. And you know, the hustle and the bustle in New York City is always fast paced. So in Florida, I would get up. It's so beautiful there. I don't care what nobody say. I've been everywhere, but Florida just has a peace for me. Everywhere I go, it's a water fountain. It's water. Maybe because I'm Aquarius. I don't know. But it brings me some type of peace and some type of serenity. I just feel so good. Like, it just brings me to, oh, God, I sit out and write books for days. You know what I mean? When you're at that level, you're not in the hustle and the bustle of getting up and trying to do. And now that I'm here, I'm right back into the hustle. Oh, my God, I got to go in this room. I got to fix that. I'm like, hold the fuck up, Jackie. Slow down. This is all I want to say for the end of this podcast is take time to love you. Please, everybody. It's so important. Like, take long showers. I don't give a fruit nanny. Take time to just love your fit, your skin, your body. Because guess what? That's the only body and temple that you got that God gave us. So I'm learning all of these every damn day to take time for what's important, everybody. Like, don't get caught up in the hype.
Oh, man. Tell you about it. To touch on one thing of what you just said, I have a small, quick little story about that in regard to the importance of being kind to yourself. I've got a really close friend who reminds me to do that every so often. And and the importance of that is so real. And I didn't realize... You go through life and you think that I'm an empath as well. So my thing is always, much like yourself, making sure everybody around me is good. I put myself last. I don't have a problem with that. That's just how I operate. But it's not always a good thing. And upon moving to Vegas, had a really, really, really awesome visit from an old close friend of mine. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And she was just looking at me and she's like, you look like you've been through a lot. And she's like, I'm not saying that you look bad at all. That's not what I'm saying. But she's like, me knowing you, you've been holding a lot on your shoulders, basically, is what she was saying.
And that's my point. Like, people don't understand. When somebody say, oh, you look old, people don't understand. Damn, like, time wears you out. And it's not that's not the time. Yeah, time wears you out. Like, I always tell people, like, people need to, it's just like, when you know that you need rest, you got to rest. Because time will beat your ass.
If it don't beat you to sleep, it will beat you in the next 3 days. When you look at yourself, you're like, well, I got this back. Oh, because bitch, you didn't go to sleep. That's what I mean by time will beat you. Time find different ways to beat you. So, you know, like my homeboy, and I didn't like it because it bothered me. He was like, yo, you know, these little niggas, you know, these young boys I'm out in the streets, and, you know, go call me a dinosaur, telling me all. I said, wow, how disrespectful. What is wrong with this new generation? Like, as somebody, you should be wanting to wish to live this old, but y'all don't even have this respect.
You
want to
know something that's
killing each other?
Something that's weird about this whole ordeal in this younger generation. And I'll use my generation as an example because I'm a part of it and I was once their age. And you will probably have the same exact feeling. No.
Yeah, but I'm about to say,
we didn't do that at all.
I know what you're going to say, but I love to be around the elders. That's why this is what the makeup of Jacqueline Rowe is, being around all of these OGs. Now everybody on Instagram, and everybody, OG. Do you understand
what they don't understand? They don't understand the actual honor that they have in even being in an OG's presence. So you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing to be aware of who they are. It's a whole other thing to be in their presence and be welcomed into the presence. So to have, so like even myself as a when I was younger, we knew exactly who the OGs were and actually idolized them to the point that there was absolutely no way that disrespect would ever come. You just something that you don't do. I don't have to agree with anything that anybody older than me does, thinks, or feels, but I will always respect the fact that they were here before me, period.
You know, and it's so real because I remember when Mama Pill was on my first podcast and she was saying, you know, when she was brought up, she said it was so good to have the elders done because the elders done were like, what you doing out here, boy? You better get on in there, you know, get on in that house, you know. We don't have that no more. People see you in the street, they scared to say something to you. You know what I mean? Or if you see somebody, child, you don't know, boy, did you eat yet? Did you have some feed? You know what I'm saying? Come on in here, boy, let me feed you some, you know, get you some food or something. And when you think, did you call your mother? Tell your mother you over here. Those instillments are out the door. You know what I mean? And it's not even so much too about them. It's even your own peers. Like, they don't, the whole connection with yesterday with listening to Dollhouse and you talking about having people, you know, having other peers to connect. Like, I've been saying it, like, nobody is trying to come to it. Now with this SBN number, money, everybody's running to go get an LLC. Like, I've been telling people since Obama got into office, hold that thought, that being self-employed was the way to go. I've been self-employed for, 25, 28 years? And that's the way, I've never worked for anybody. I've never held a job. Mm-hmm. Only when I was in being rebellious at Restoration Plaza, I used to go to YET, YEP, or whatever youth center, so they used to send me out on jobs. But I've never held a job in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never worked for anyone. You understand me? I've only been my own boss. And I've been telling people this before COVID. I've been talking to people, telling me, but like I said, some of your own peers, they're so, you know, there's so much hate amongst them because they don't want to see unity or togetherness or womanness. Now, all of a sudden now, I could talk to one of my girlfriends and I would tell her what to do. I would think, I look at what she has going on, give her the best analogies of what to do, how to do what to do. You know what? And then you would see her, you know what I mean? I would look and go on her page and see her, like, not listening to nothing, but then she'll go follow somebody else that she think is somebody that's on social media.
And it's law. Yeah.
And
it's law. Yo, I don't even. Man, we could talk about this for hours alone.
Bird brain, lame ass. You don't even know these people, but these people put on these good front and they got X amount of following. You want to listen to these people. And then they come to find out these bitches don't even know how to spell or write or don't even have nothing. And these chicks are just, I mean, people that you're close with are so obliviously blind to shit that they want to go out there to put their arms out to people that they don't even know that they can't touch. When you got people around you that you can touch, that you can learn to get like a magnet and come together and build. I tell you, man, if you was a fly on the wall yesterday to hear
my goddaughter go off yesterday, just hitting it on the nose, like, she want to see Brooklyn win. She want to see all this, you know, women's come together, like, make money, like, the money that she's making now, it's like, you know, it feels so good, like, you know what I'm saying, just be able to see her friends, them coming together, but she want everybody to make money. She's like, no, mommy, you've been doing that, you've been trying to tell, I said, but they don't listen. For some reason, everybody out of a crew, somebody wants to play the goddess and everybody else, what the goddess wants everybody else to feed them.
Right.
Nah, I don't want you to feed me shit. I want you to grow your own vine, water your own seed, and make your own shit, because one day my seeds might not grow. I might have to come over there and borrow a couple seeds from you. Do they get that? Nah, that's the real Jackie Rose that they don't talk about. You know what I'm saying? Like, me have always been a motivator. I kind of help people to get to the next level, but if people can't comprehend it in their own mind, their own thoughts, then it's useless. Again, we started the conversation in the beginning by saying that you cannot want what you want for someone unless they want it for themselves.
Period. Bottom line, and you should not utilize 1 second of your time trying to get them to see anything else. Eventually, it will happen. Eventually, you don't know when, but it's not that right now is not the time. Right now is just not the time, and it's frustrating.
I'm gonna end it. I'm just saying, I'm gonna end it with my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause you know we all Aquarius. Me, Rick Ross, you know, Baby, Cash Money. We are all Aquarius, and I don't care what people say about him. Like the way that we think colossal. We think so big, you know what I mean? Like, I had Think Big behind on my Facebook for years, but I just took it off because, you know, people don't understand, like, you know, people that don't know you, they always want to have something to say, and they don't understand. That's why they want to say, oh, he thinks he this, he thinks he that, he thinks he this, and da-da-da-da. You have to think. This is my shit. I'm going to end it with this.
Oh yeah, that's my joint.
That's my shit.
He talked that shit the way you supposed to talk that shit.
Rich style.
You want to make me pull that up today? I'm going to have to listen to that one today.
That's my shit. I listened to all day yesterday. Like, I have certain playlists that, you know, I love, and this is one of my
His catalog is strong. I actually grew to respect his catalog more in the recent years.
Oh yeah, Jay.
Oh no, I'm talking about Ross.
Can't take that away from him.
Yeah, I just.
Oh Ross. Know oh my.
I had a conversation with somebody a couple of short months ago about Rick Ross, and I realized something about him.
Yeah.
Ow. Oh nah, you good. I'm listening to it too. It's something, it was unfortunate. This just has nothing to do with anything we were talking about, but just off the strength of the whole Ross. Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, don't lose me, Richie.
All right, it's funny because like I can't be the only one. And this is the difference that people got to understand. Learn how to separate real life from music. I lost maybe 6 years of enjoying Rick Ross's music due to that whole him possibly being a CO back in the day. The older I became, I realized, what in the fuck does that have to do with anything? Is the music good or not?
I was about to say, I didn't give a fuck if he was a goddamn a janitor. Like that, listen, I don't get involved. This is just not for nothing. I don't get involved with catty shit. Yeah. Like I read through catty bullshit so far. I am numb to that shit. Like catty, that's how you feeling? That's how you smelling, dog? Because once you start putting
right. that out, I can see and I had to realize, like, that's right. the younger mind that I had.
I curve you so fast. That's 50 with this bullshit. Like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. From I heard this nigga spit, I never heard. Then when you
and that was around the time where I started to, when they had that whole merge, when they bought, he bought Wale, Meek, and Stally and Swally in at the same time. And they had Teedra Moses too, low key. She just didn't drop on the label, but they had her too. Yes. She actually came in all at the same time, and that was around the time when I started to realize, like, you're not. He's one of my favorite artists now. But this is the difference in the young mind that I had when he first came out. I'm like, what the fuck is different? Because people can't separate real life from entertainment.
I couldn't see it. I didn't see anything that was a janitor or the CEO. It didn't take nothing away from me personally speaking. It didn't take nothing away from my ears of me listening to what he was saying and how he was expressing it. Like my back, you know, that's my first thing. My first love is music. You know, before I was in sports with Mike, anything, my first thing is music. I've always been a music buff. That's why people know. They can stamp me for me knowing good music.
He definitely is. I can't even front. He talked that shit the way you're supposed to talk that shit.
Yo, man. Let me tell you, it's Biggie, Jay-Z, then it was Snoop, then it was Nate Dogg, and then it became Rick Ross, and then who else? I think it was Lil Wayne, then it was who else? When these little young, when they started coming with the South music, then it was Future, then it was, you know what I'm saying?
You catch it.
You gotta have that swag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta be able to talk to me like that 80s shit with, you know, with style, finesse, you know, pizzazz.
And you know what you're listening to when you hear it because you were there. And like, that's the whole thing. And that's another reason, something thing for me too. I just like the authentic shit. Like, I know everybody didn't do what they said that they, you know what I'm saying? I've been knowing that. But I just, you know, dudes that even, I don't know what he did, but all I know is that he talked that shit the way you supposed to talk that shit. That shit sound good.
That's what I'm talking about. That nigga talked that shit so slick. It just make you want to rock.
And I don't even use this term a lot, but if you don't, like, you at this point, you kind of hating, because he talked that shit the way it's supposed to be talked. Don't nobody talk. And to be honest with you, I actually think he talks. I think I feel like he talks it better than Jay did.
Yo, he got style for days, man. The way he accumulate the shit that he flows off of
his aura is right too. Like the way that he moves,
He's Aquarius. I don't know what else to say.
I fuck with his everything.
But anyway, Rich, it's real. Like we can do this. I'm so happy to have had you front row. With
no doubt.
Hero, Mumua, me, you know. And this was a very great conversation. We almost did 2 hours, and this is really very therapeutic for me as well, because like I said, to have these conversations and share them with the world, you know, I only hope that someone could walk away with something from it. You know, I'm just my realness, your experience, your realness. You know what I'm saying? It's not fabricating, it's who we are. You know what I mean? We're not perfect. We're gonna make mistakes, but we are here to, you know, embark on our journey. So thank you again, Rich.
Please for sure. Instagram, The Real Rich Styles. And that's basically where you can find me. If you wanna, you know, venture off anywhere else, you can tap the link in my bio and it'll give you all of my URLs and things of that nature. But I'm primarily mostly on the Instagram platform. So The Real Rich Styles, I'm there, man. Every day.
Every day, all day.
You know? But it's definitely been an honor. I've enjoyed it. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll do the part two on my platform. We'll continue on.
Okay. For sure. Thank you, Rich. It was really good. All right. I'm going to take this up and put my ingredients
spice
on
it. Spice it up.
Have it out to you, okay, babe? All right. Take care. Thanks for being one of the best part of Front Row with Jackie Rowe. Remember my audience, my dear new young ones coming up. Love yourself first.
Oh, before we end, what's up with the fight?
Oh, I don't even know. To be honest, that's a whole nother story.
Like, he looked like he ready, though.
All right, well, okay.
He looking like he kind of ready. He's not going to hit me. I'm going to love to watch it, though. I'm waiting to see how this going to be. I'm excited for this one. I have to say.
When you hear about somebody, you know, like that's like a child, anything could happen. I've always had butterflies in my belly during all the fight. I'm a hard, tough cookie, but when it comes down to knowing that the wrong shot could like hit your temple and your ass is out. I mean, like knocked out for good. Like it always bothers me. So that's another podcast. So I'm not really. I think Mike is older. He has different ways of capitalizing, of making money, and he's making money. He's doing it. I think he is at his best right now, where he's just doing his own podcast and smoking his weed and talking shit.
Right.
That's just what he likes.
He seems
to
so peaceful. So
I think he's
at peace.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, why go to this? I don't know. I'm just not with it. But, to each his own. There's his own thing, But, again,
absolutely.
Thank you. And we'll talk soon. Thanks, Marie.